I met my next guest several years ago and had lunch because we shared a mutual patient that we were treating. So we wanted to learn a little bit about what the other person was doing. At the time, I was practicing mainly acupuncture, and that was considered pretty mainstream in contrast to what this individual does, which I love. It's very unique and I think very important. Today, we have Dr. Théo Chevallier, who is a psychiatrist and apitherapist. He's also the former president and vice president of the American Apitherapy Society. He has traveled to 5 continents to learn and teach about apitherapy. He has 4 beehives here in Maine. Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
I think the first question people are going to ask is, what is apitherapy?
Apitherapy is the medicinal use of bee products. And there are 2 general ways of thinking of apitherapy. One is the traditional way, and that has been going on for maybe 2,000 years or so. And the Western way, which uses mostly derivatives of the products, extracts different parts of the products. I am of the traditional school. Namely, I use the live products. I don't kill the honey by irradiating it. I don't extract venom. Apitoxin, the extract, is very powerful, but I am not I'm interested to stay with live products, that is, products made by live entities. And they have very interesting qualities. One is you cannot know exactly the composition of a product. And if you cannot know it, surprise, the germs cannot know it either. And we do not create resistance with our products.
Most people who are listening will pick up on the fact that you have an accent.
Yes.
So I should probably ask you where you're from.
I'm from Switzerland. My original language was German. I learned French when I went to school, age, I don't know, 4 or 5, whatever, at that time when I went to school. And I learned English some 55 years ago in this country.
And you find yourself now in Freeport.
South Freeport, yes.
South Freeport.
Yes. After being 45 years in New York, just north of the city in Westchester.
So how is it that you came to be in South Freeport, Maine?
The best possible reason, which is to follow our children.
And you have a doctor that I have worked with.
Yes.
Dr. Nicole.
One of my children is a physician. I'm kind of proud that no 2 kids have the same destiny, the same practice. I have a coach, I have a physician, I have a business person, I have a university teacher, and I have an artist.
That is a large and very diverse group of
very
children.
Very large, and they are very different. The physician and the business person are twins, and one can dispute whether they are real twins or not real twins. We will never know. But they are very different, and it's an extraordinary experience to have twins.
I have sisters who are twins, both of whom are physicians, and it is very interesting to see how they are both alike and extreme. Yes. And not alike at all.
Different tastes, different ways, and on. One was working in Switzerland, the other was here. They exchanged identical birthdays, earrings, identical.
So they bought each other earrings for their birthday, and they were exactly the same ones?
For the birthday of the other. They lost their upper incisive the same day, the left one the next day, the same day. And they have different friends, they have different parents. They are essentially different. And when we used to confuse them, I said, you are not Nicole. Why do you look like her?
Dr. Nicole Chevalier, she works locally. She's a family physician, and she also has an interest in apitherapy.
She has a secondary interest in apitherapy. I think if she was completely free, then if she lived in a place where she can easily have hives, she may become directly interested. But at this point, she is really so busy with her practice and her function and her two kids and her husband, she doesn't have time for much more.
Is this something that you came to be interested in earlier in your career?
Well, that's a very interesting question. It took me time to realize what I'm going to tell you. I'm a psychiatrist, and I work primarily with families, which means that if I work with one person, that person's family is, so to speak, under the couch during the sessions. And I wanted to have a model for psychotherapy. And the model would be two individuals that are completely separate from one another, have no relationship, have very few points in common, and they meet for a limited time, and they have a relationship in which each one knows very little about the other, and then they separate. And during the time they were together, it was beneficial and novel for both. And for reasons that I did not have any idea of, I chose to have a hive. I could know very little about how the bees think. The bees could know very little. It should be beneficial. We start from completely different. We will end up completely different. What I did not realize is, as an adolescent in the Swiss Alps, I befriended a beekeeper. I was not interested in bees. I was interested in the old man. And I was his servant, so to speak, in the 2 months of the summer. I loved working with him. So my love for the man determined my choice, and I didn't realize that several years later.
So you had a hive. You started working with a man who was a beekeeper, and you started having your own hives. Was it roughly around the same time that you
went? No. In Switzerland, I had no hives, had no interest in bees. He was also a winemaker, so I worked with I did what he asked me to do. And it didn't matter where I was, what I did, I wanted to be with him. Okay. It's many years later in this country that I had the idea of, I want a model for psychotherapy. And it was very important for me to realize that I know very little about the person I treat. And I have no business knowing more. So I have defined a way of approaching people in therapy, which is very particular to me, where the patient will decide what we talk about. The patient will decide of the reality of things. I have a thought about you. Is that thought valid? And the patient says yes or no. A no is generally more instructive than a yes, because I said, tell me what's wrong with my picture. It doesn't apply to you. How did I get the wrong picture? So that I am ultimately aiming at my overall goal in psychotherapy is that the patient becomes the master of his or her boat. I am not the master. They decide where they want to go. I will help them sailing. I know about sailing. I don't know about where they want to go. It's not my business. And it's marvelous.
And this is very similar to what you've described with the bees.
Very much. Just as I don't want compliance, physicians always want compliance of their patient. It's a concept I detest. I want to do things with you. Now, it's particularly important if we think of that part of apitherapy that is bee venom therapy. I don't use the extracts, I use the bees. Now, every bee stings, causes pain. The pain is the least important and least interesting of what happens. Every sting, I will now rephrase it, gives the opportunity to have a number of perceptions. And we are studying them, and I'm teaching the patients to figure out where they need to be stung, how many bees they want. And after a while, they say, I think today I want 8. Now, we never start with 8. We start with 1, and you tell me whether you want the second and where. And I remember that person I was treating. She had psoriatic arthritis, 30 joints involved. She was a misery. And I was working at her big toe. I had given 2 stings to that toe over 20 minutes. And she said, you know, for the first time in years, I can feel that I have a toe on that foot. And she added something that really touched me. Doctor, this toe, her middle toe, is jealous of the thumb. So I said, ask your toe where the toe wants to be stung. And she said, here and here. She showed me with her finger where to sting. That's what we did. She had learned and she guided me. So I know how to travel, but she knows where to go. And that's my basic philosophy in treatment. So compliance has nothing to do with what I do. I don't treat you. You are the world's expert on who you are. I am in this room the representative of apitherapy or psychiatry, whichever. And the two experts make a team. The team will treat you. It's fantastic.
It is fantastic. I think that when you and I had a mutual patient and I was doing acupuncture, it's very similar. With acupuncture, you put needles in certain places because there's a certain constellation of symptoms, but ultimately there is feedback from the patient as to whether those are the right places to put the needles, whether they're getting better. And there's something that happens that's somewhat intangible. We can't really quite understand it. But you keep moving forward despite not completely understanding it.
Well, look, I've made with a colleague a study which we called the first 5 minutes. We took interviews and we looked at what I call the unit of communications. Words, intonation, body gesture. After a few months of studies, we changed the title. The first 2 minutes, from 5 to 2. And in one of these, I was able to identify 16 units of communications in 120 seconds. Our average was 4 or 3. That was an extreme, and it took me 6 months to discover the 16th. It was all on computer, all classified, and et cetera. So if we have every minute that I'm with someone an average of 3 units of communication, how many do I pick up in an hour? 5%? It's already very rich. 10%? It's overwhelming. The rest is not my business. I was not ready to receive it.
Is that why psychotherapy or apitherapy takes time?
It takes time, it takes attention, and it takes work. You want to work with me, we're in business. You don't want to work with me, you're very lucky, because there's a lot of people you can see who do not want you to work. They want you to accept what they offer. I don't.
As you're talking about apitherapy and bee venom and the use of it's essentially it's bee stings that you're talking about. You're actually stinging a person.
Absolutely.
I mean, you're right. That even just overcoming that fear of the pain, that in itself is work.
Well, I can sting you and you will practically not feel it. That techniques, we distinguish regular sting, mini sting, and micro sting. With the micro sting, which I learned from Japan, you take the stinging apparatus from the bee, you take it out of the bee, and you sting the person with that in tweezers. If I show you, you prepare the skin, for instance, with hot towels or with these glasses, what you call them?
Oh, like cupping?
Cupping.
Cupping
exactly.
Glasses?
Cupping. So skin prepared by cupping is ideal because it's very soft. So the patient, the administrator does like that. I have it done on myself. I felt just the very light touch of his hand. I saw him operating on someone else, and I counted 105 applications with one stinging apparatus. I asked him, how does he know it's finished? He gave me his answer. I feel it. Now, I checked the first five and the last five. They all had that little reddish quality, which says the skin did receive venom. Now, if you think that a bee has, in average, 150 micrograms of venom, you divide that one by 105, it's a little more than one microgram per sting. You can sting an infant. The infant will not be in pain. So you're afraid of stung? Let's start with that. And then we go to mini, in which I put a bee, and I'm ready to remove the sting as soon as you tell me to remove it. And we count the seconds. And if you're really afraid, I'll put it and remove it. So you decide. You are afraid. Good. Tell me. I will meet the fright. I will never tell you, don't be afraid, don't worry. Because if I tell you, don't worry, it means, shut up, I don't want to hear your worry. No. As someone said, oh, you, Chevalier, you want your patients to suffer. I said, right on. I want them to bring their pain, not their reaction to the pain, not their solution. Solution to the pain is aggression. You hurt me, bang, I will not tell you I'm in pain. I will tell you how bad you are. And when I'm in rage, good news, I don't suffer. And socially speaking, it's a very useful reaction because we are not in front of a wailing wall. We should do our stuff and not stick with our pains. So it's essential to be able to transform. But if you are stopped with pain and can't get out of the vicious cycle, then I come in. And that's true for psychiatry. It's true for epitherapy. And the patient will always define. Now, I can say, I suggest to do it this way, that place. And I think we should meet once, twice a week. Depending on what the situation is, I go faster or slower. What if they have an allergic reaction? I've had in 45 or 50 years of bee sting, I have had, I don't know, 100 or 200 allergic reactions. I consider that disharmony in the patient's life. Now, I have epinephrine on the table at my right hand. I'm righty. I've never used it. Charles Mraz, a beekeeper from Vermont, who for some 75 years stung hundreds of people, he's a father of bee venom therapy in this country, told me that he had never used epinephrine. I've never used epinephrine. What I do when a patient starts having a reaction, I put him on the couch, not to annoy him, but to be able to sit in front of him and intensely relate to him. And if he doesn't feel well, I ask him, tell me what happens and where it happens. Speak. Continue telling. Speak. I will not let you go until you feel like going. Now, that's an emergency. And interestingly, if I had to stay with a patient, fate has always arranged that I had no other patient knocking at the door. Why? You believe in good fate, you're served. I believe in whatever.
Dr. Chabulier, you are 86 years old.
Yes.
And you
just for a time. I'll be 87.
So you are right at this particular moment, 86 years old.
Yes.
And yet you are busier than ever. You're still traveling all over the world. And you said, I should be partway retired, but a lot of people at 86 would stop working altogether.
Right.
What keeps you doing this?
I'm so fascinated. It's so interesting. In September, I wrote a book on, the title was The Patient, The Therapist and the Patient. I don't really like the book, so I'm writing a new edition. And there will be very important differences. For instance, one of the topics that interests me is suicide. Physiologically, all cells are programmed to do what is called apoptosis. You know, what does apoptosis mean? Suicide. Programmed death. One group of cells does not do that. Which one? Cancer cells. How do they die? By killing their host. So, in my book, the chapter on suicide will be a natural death, because you have to be cancerous to refuse to kill yourself and to kill. That's exactly what we human beings are doing to the planet. Huh? We're going to kill ourselves by mistreating the planet.
Well, it sounds like you are doing the same thing for yourself that you hope to do with your bees and with your patients, which is respect where you're coming from.
I'm working in a project in Switzerland of directors of institutions who receive children who have been singled out by the state, by the city of Geneva, for mistreatment or neglect. Now, justice in this part of the world is essentially punitive and revengeful. You don't repair anything, you inflict more harm and more suffering to the one that is identified as a criminal. I don't go for that justice. I go for a justice that repairs and brings the two parts together. The one who did the bad deed and the one who suffered. And it's for the one who suffered to define what is the compensation. Well, the idea is for the institution to use that restorative from an institution, the state, who has to work with the punitive, the retributive part of justice. We have incompatible values. It's like two incompatible languages. You have to be bilingual, and then it doesn't matter the values of the system. What matters is that we both want to help families. Now, it took me months to come to that. And I have one of my reasons to go to Switzerland is to work with my colleague of the one of the institution to try to tame the state, namely social agencies, child protective agencies, the law, the tribunals, to assist us at doing our things. It's extraordinarily interesting.
Well, I hope that when I am 86, and I'm assuming that I'm going to get to 86, who knows, that I continue to be as interested in things as you are. How do people find out about AP therapy or about the work you're doing, Dr. Chabulier?
There's a little bit of, I heard about you. And if you look on the web, my name. I think I haven't looked myself, but I've been told there is more about apitherapy than about psychiatry, which is fine by me. Whatever they want to tell, they tell.
I appreciate your taking the time to come in and talk to us about apitherapy and also about psychiatry and about the things that you've learned over your continuing to lengthen life. Very thought-provoking. I encourage people to learn more. We've been speaking with Dr. Théo Chevallier of the American Apitherapy Society, also a psychiatrist based here in Maine out of South Freeport. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you for the very pleasant time you allowed me to have with you.